You know, I come to realize that I haven't really told you anything fun lately. So I thought I'd share an interesting anecdote with you. It's been all business here at the Revelation series. I've been keeping my headphones on, so serious as I've been here. One track mind. I like this chapter because of the metaphors. I like unlocking the secrets. I like being able to say what things are. I'm just digging it, you know, but it's, all right, all work and no play makes Martin a dull boy. So I'm just going to tell you something cool that happened at the bookstore the other day. Might not even put this you know, little old film look here. I don't know. Let's see what happens. But anyway, I'm at Barnes & Noble, otherwise known as my Federal Highway office. That's where I work sometimes. I have my 17th Street office, which is Starbucks, and I have my Barnes & Noble store. That's my Federal Highway office, the bookstore. So I go there. You have to buy something if you're going to sit down with your computer and work. So I buy Americano decaf. Yeah, I know. Americano decaf. Tall Americano decaf. No room. And the same woman keeps waiting on me, and she ends up knowing my name. So she goes, "Hello, Martin." She's from another country. I'm not sure where she's from. Nice lady, really nice lady. And so she calls me Martin two or three days in a row. I have to learn her name by this time because it's just not right. She should know me as Martin. What's your name? Well, she told me her name, and it was a confusing name. It was a foreign name. It had like 10 syllables. I could not keep track of it. I lost it after the third syllable. She says, "But my friends call me Hetty." That's basically my name. You can call me Hetty. I said, "Hetty? Well, that's interesting." And then I said, "Just like Hetty Lamarr, you know, the famous actress." And she said, "Well, yes, I'm named after Hetty Lamarr." I said, "How is it that you're named after Hetty Lamarr?" "Well, I lived in New York City for a while, and my mother worked at a restaurant. And Hetty Lamarr, the famous Austrian actress and radio technology inventor, actually, would come into the restaurant, or came in one particular day, and Hetty, of Barnes & Noble fame, her mother was so excited that she went and got her one-year-old daughter, Hetty, of Barnes & Noble fame, and put her on the lap of Ms. Lamarr, of Austrian and American film fame." And so, that's how her name came to be Hetty, because her mother, I guess, was a huge fan of Hetty Lamarr. And now I, Martin Zender, am a huge fan of Hetty Lamarr. Don't worry, Dorothy. Don't worry. You're still safe here. However, I've looked up Hetty Lamarr on the intranet, and I've discovered extremely beautiful woman. In fact, it is said that when Hetty Lamarr came upon the screen for the first time in a film, people gasped. Such was her beauty. Same thing they do with this show. People watch this show like, "This guy makes sense for a living." Same thing. I'm considering getting a Hetty Lamarr poster, but remains to be seen. But I met a woman who sat on the lap of Hetty Lamarr, the famous actress. She was in some very interesting films. One of them, Samson and Delilah with Victor Mature. Worked with every leading man in Hollywood. You name the leading man, she worked with him. All right, back to business. I got to change the channel here, but we needed a little bit of a distraction. No more. Coming back into it. Watch this. Watch what happens with these 10 kings. I am in verse 11. I think that's where I left off. "The 10 horns which you perceived are 10 kings who obtained no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings. 1 hour with the wild beasts. These have one opinion." Here's the miracle of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Here is the miracle of the last days of the union and the eventual dissolution of this union and the destruction of the dissolute woman by God, is that they all have one opinion. When is the last time you knew or ever heard of that two kings had one opinion, two world leaders had one opinion? Impossible. Now we have 10 horns, 10 kings, having one opinion. Having one opinion, that's a miracle. God did this. Otherwise, it's not possible. And let me see. The one kingdom obtaining authority is kingdom. They said one opinion. They will be battling with the lambkin. So who's behind the battle with the lambkin? God himself is behind the battle with the lambkin. And the lambkin is put here. It's a figure of association for those who take the lambkin's name. Once again, a lambkin is a baby lamb. It's a baby lamb. It's the diminutive form in the Greek of the word lamb, which is again setting up for us a, I got Samson and Delilah on the mind, a David and Goliath scenario, where Goliath is built up into this great power. We have seven kings, we have 10 kings, we have 10 kings of one opinion, giving them strength, giving them unity, a fighting force to be reckoned with, and dueling them, coming under attack by them, is a lambkin, a baby lamb. And those of that baby lamb are followers. They're, again, the word lambkin is put for the followers of the lambkin. Think of Jesus Christ in front of Pilate. Again, the greatest picture of our place in this world under the earth's thumb, under the earth's governments. He stood as a sheep, silent before its shearers, and he made no protest. He talked, he reasoned, and he was strong, and yet no cry of protest, no banners, no slogans, no army of people fighting for him, no bullhorns, no flyers, no political statements from him. That's not our realm. It wasn't his realm. My kingdom is not of this world, he said. Oh, it's the very opposite of these people here. Oh, their kingdom is of this world. Believe you me, they have one opinion, and they are giving their power and authority to the wild beast. Unbelievable. These will be battling the lambkin, and the lambkin will be conquering them. Thank you. Perfecto, as they say around here. David and Goliath. The lambkin will be conquering them. No one could possibly imagine that the lambkin could conquer a united world kingdom. It's as improbable as David slaying Goliath. A little boy defeating in battle the champion of the Philistines. Or for that matter, Jesus Christ on the cross in the weakest position a person could be in on this planet. And yet who conquers? Who conquers death? He does. God purposely sets up these scenarios where there is no possible way out. And all seems lost. And the only palpable thing seems to be despair. And that is when God kicks in. That is when God is loving it. He's licking his chops. And stand back and watch. For the battle is not yours but his. This battle belongs to the Lord. And it is the Lord who is making the odds impossible. Making it impossible for you to complete this thing. But as the Apostle Paul told us, God will be completing that which he started. He said that to the Galatians. Are you going to now perfect what Jesus Christ began in you? Jesus Christ doesn't start it and then pass the baton on to you. Take a break. You take it from here, kid. You run the final lap. This is your game. No. From start to finish, it's his work. We're participants in it, of course, because he's animating us. And we're vessels of honor, thank God. He's also animating these 10 kings, and they are vessels of dishonor, for they are giving their kingdom to the wild beast. They think it's a good idea. It's a very, very bad idea. But they're being compelled because this is a miracle. This is a miracle. These have one opinion. Look at for yourself. It's verse 13 of Unveiling chapter 17. And the 10 horns which you perceived are 10 kings who obtained no kingdom as yet, but are obtaining authority as kings 1 hour with the wild beast. These have one opinion. Are you kidding me? That's the divine touch. If you don't see the divine touch there, allow me to point it out. That is a miracle. These will be battling with the lambkin, but the lambkin will be conquering them. There's another miracle. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. On and on it goes. Seeing that it is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those with it are called and chosen and faithful. I like that. These will be battling with the lambkin, that is, those kings, the 10 kings, giving their kingdom to the wild beast. They will be battling with the lambkin, and no doubt they will be thinking, this is a slam dunk, game over. We're going to destroy these people because they're idiots. They're weak. They don't understand the ways of modern warfare. They don't understand how things are done in this world. And that's us. We don't understand how things are done. I survive in this world. How? I don't know. I mean, I'm not too smart, you know, as far as the ways of the world go. God fights my battles. I sit here every day and things happen. I don't know. I write. I'm passionate about God. He animates me. He's animating us. God works in you both to will and to work for the sake of his delight, but he's also, sorry about your luck, 10 kings, but he's animating you to give your kingdom to the wild beast. Okay, but the lambkin's going to be conquering them. Why? Seeing that, here's an explanation of why the lambkin, the baby lamb, is going to be conquering the world, conquering the 10 most powerful kings that ever existed at one time. Seeing that, it is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We have kings and lords in the context here, but here is the Lord of Lords. And I love how the concordant version here has the first Lord capitalized, the single Lord, and the plural Lords small case. It is Lord, the Lambkin, is Lord of Lords. He's the Lord of all the Lords. He's the God of all the gods. There are many gods, many lords, many kings. But for us, there is one God, one Lord, one King. So it's capital L, capital K, and those with it are called and chosen and faithful. That's the third thing. The kicker. Because it's nice to be called. You have to be called. And with Israel, they're called and chosen. We're chosen first, then called. Did you realize that in the waning moments of this show? Maybe I can get into that with you here. It's described here. Again, it's another place. Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. These are called and chosen. God calls Israelites. Jesus calls Israelites. And then he chooses some among those who he calls, and they become faithful. We are chosen first, chosen in Christ from before the disruption. So we're sealed before we're born. Then sometime in our life, we will come to believe the truth, and then we become faithful. Just a little difference there, a delicious and delightful difference between saints of the circumcision and those of the uncircumcision. So, my friends, unity. Is a bad thing when it comes to the world. When the world unites, many people are going to rejoice because they think this is the happiest day of our lives. We're all together. We even have one opinion. Wow. And again, this is the reverse of Babel. This is the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel. There, the languages were disrupted and the nations became, period. There were no nations before Babel. Then there came to be nations, and they're all different, and they all have different languages, and we fight each other, and we don't understand each other. We don't even talk the same language. Everybody has different opinions. The world just can't come together, and that's a good thing, the separation of powers, as it were. But here in the unveiling, we have the reverse. We have Babel coming back. This time, there is a uniting for a purpose to destroy them. Gather the tares to burn them up. That's what Jesus said. This is the gathering of the tares. This is bringing them all together so they're in one place. How convenient if you're going to destroy your enemies, as God will do, to bring them all in one place against their common enemy, which is Israel. and God puts it on their heart and on their mind to do it. To do an evil thing, but evil just means to break. It's morally neutral. God breaks in order to restore. He kills in order to heal. Every time, the end game is salvation.